You've heard of the X Factor? Well, tonight we've got the Wow Factor. And I'm sure that some of you are expecting some obscure passage from the Old Testament. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We're into the New Testament. I was challenged to go into the New Testament instead of the book of Leviticus. You laugh, but the book of Leviticus, to me, is a book of joy because it talks about a God who wants to live with his people. And as I look through the Bible and the Old Testament, I read about how the world fell out of a living, dynamic, and intimate relationship with this God. But I also read how a Messiah, a Savior, a Rescuer, if you like, was to be sent by God in order to restore this same world into that intimate, dynamic, active relationship with God. Wow! I can say it backwards. Wow! And I read the Gospels in the New Testament, and I see this Messiah Savior as the God-man, Jesus Christ. And as I do so, I get that wow factor about him. I get excited. I was talking to someone on Facebook the other night, and she's this far away from accepting Jesus. Don't tell me Facebook can't be used for God's glory, because I know that it can. Many people in the Bible also got that wow factor during his public ministry and even after his death. And one such person we read about in Acts chapter 9. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." Wow. If wow was in the Greek, it would be here. Saul had just had his first encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. A definite wow factor for him. Sometime later, as Paul, he wrote about this same Jesus Christ in that letter to the Colossians. We heard that from our Bible reading. It's a wow poem by Paul about Jesus. In here I see Paul's wow factor about Jesus. Paul's wow factor about Jesus. See if you can pick these words up from here. Talking about Jesus' divinity, Jesus' humanity, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, the supremacy of Jesus, Jesus the creator, Jesus the leader, Jesus who is eternal, Jesus who is the sustainer, Jesus who is the power, Jesus who is the authority, Jesus who is the reconciler, Jesus who is the peacemaker, and Jesus who is the peace giver. Wow! You get the message? Wow! I wonder what your wow factor of Jesus would include. Maybe we'll find out next week. Let me share with you some thoughts on the wow factor of Jesus and me. Yes, I'm going to talk about myself. I don't normally like to do it because I do it too much. What is this wow factor I get about Jesus? Who is my Jesus? Who is your Jesus? There are many wow factors I get, but we probably don't have time for that because we want to get home by midnight. You'll have to come back next week for more. So tonight, 7 wow factors about this Jesus. The first one I would use for Jesus is that he is unique. Totally and unutterably unique. Never before and never to be repeated again. Ever. Jesus Christ is the standout person from all of history. In all of history, Jesus Christ is incomparable. Yet in human form, we read that during his earthly ministry, he had no physical beauty of which to attract people to himself. We read that on the cross, his body was so disfigured and transformed and tortured beyond that of human likeness. Yet, his perfect life, his salvation work on that cross, and his subsequent rising from the dead is what makes Jesus Christ unique. A once and for all, lifetime Messiah or Savior for the entire world. Wow. This great God of creation, stepping into his creation as a human for the purpose of reconciling a broken world back into relationship with God. Wow. Jesus' uniqueness, meaning that I, this miserable person, this miserable sinner, can have an active and dynamic relationship with God. Wow. Unique. Then the Jesus I see is full of majesty and awe. He's not simply a king with a crown on his head. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. I don't normally need a microphone, by the way. This Jesus Christ did not decay in the grave. He overcame death in the grave and was raised again majestically and magnificently. As Paul said about Jesus' resurrection in that passage from Colossians, Jesus is the firstborn from amongst the dead. Paul writes later in Colossians 2 verse 3 that in Jesus Christ all the majestic treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Wow. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who with unparalleled majesty is the head of the body, the church. And if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, the church would not be in existence 2,000 years later, let alone 2 years after his death and resurrection. Jesus' majesty means I can depend on him for all manners of life. Wow. And then, unique, majestic, and tender. Next to go to look into his eyes. His tender eyes. Jesus looks upon people with love, adoration, justice, and tenderness. Looks upon me that way. Eyes filled with mercy, grace, love, and compassion. Eyes that fill with rage at injustice and oppression. His penetrating eyes that can separate flesh from spirit. This Jesus is kind and sympathetic. His look of love on a world that is separated from God and a world he is calling back into a relationship with God. Jesus' tenderness, which means I can run to him for comfort because he sees what I'm going through. Wow. And then, unique, majestic, tender, wise. He's the wise man. Then there is Jesus. The wise man. When Jesus spoke words, people were amazed. They were astonished that he spoke with elegance and yet with authority. They had never heard anyone speak like he did, with both grace and authority. The same is true today if we're listening. That's why we read the Bible, to find out what he would say to us. That's why we seek to hear from him and to seek to hear his voice. That's why preaching is to be seen as an act of worship from both the preacher and the listener. John Stott would say it's the pinnacle of the worship experience. And Jesus' wisdom means that I can ask him for advice and seek his imagination to solve my problems. Wow. And then his strength, tender and strong. Jesus is strong enough and capable of enough to carry out any burden that we and I can lay upon him. He gives a solid and sure foundation for all aspects of life. A foundation which will not crumble or be destroyed. Indeed, Jesus Christ will never fail or decay, such is his imperishability as the everlasting God. Jesus Christ is solid, dependable, and strong. Nobody and nothing can stand against him. Jesus' strength means I can go to him for protection and strength when I am weak, and knowing that he will supply my needs. What's the word? Wow. Then finally, or sixthly anyway, at least for now, this Jesus oozes loveliness. Maybe it's just my imagination. I have a pretty good imagination. Jesus is altogether lovely and lovely altogether. Jesus is beyond compare for the things he has done and the things that he will do. Jesus Christ is altogether lovely in regards to his person, his humanity, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation, his glorification, his grace, his protection, his tenderness, his power, his wisdom, his vengeance, his judgment, his majesty, his redemption, and his pardon. No, I haven't swallowed a thesaurus. Jesus' loveliness means I can have his incomparable joy when I feel defeated and rejected. Wow, that's my Jesus. Unique, majestic, wise, tender, strong, and lovely. Again I ask, what would your Jesus wow factor include? So what? You might well ask. People do. They ask me that all the time. That's my Jesus, whom I seek to serve and obey in every facet of life, every second of every day. I don't always achieve it, but I know that when I fail, I can ask for forgiveness, and he will grant it from his wellspring of gracious mercy. Yet another wow factor about this Jesus. It's the Jesus whom I depend upon and personally know to be totally reliable in every way. When people let me down, they turn away from me, they discourage me, they think wrongly of me, they incorrectly assume my motives, this Jesus always picks me up, never turns me down, never turns me away, and he always encourages and embraces me. Wow. And all through each day, I know that Jesus has been dependable going ahead of me. Amazing. This Jesus who died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who was raised from the dead without decay into newness of life and ascended to the right hand of the Father. There's only one Saviour for this world, and that's Jesus. There'll never be another because there is no need of another, despite the bleatings of other religions and faiths. Jesus never said, I am a true vine, a way, a truth, and a life. Jesus did not say, I am a shepherd, a door, a light, or a bread of life. If he was like that, then he would have no wow factor at all. No, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Jesus is the only great shepherd, and he is the only door to life with God. Don't let anybody tell you any other rubbish, even within the church. Jesus calls everyone to be partakers of his nourishment and shelter, which only he can provide. That's our gospel wow, which is unalterable. And sadly, only a few people respond yes. So, are you one of his followers or are you one of his deniers? Again, I ask you, what would your wow factor of Jesus include? Now, there is somebody here who would love to share with us about this Jesus. So, you are one of his followers, aren't you? And I know that you have a wow factor about Jesus to share with us. So, here's Sue.
Thank you for that great introduction, Dave. Good evening, everybody. Some of you will already know this, but I'd like to share it anyway. When at the end of May, it was a bank holiday, and we had gone away for a little weekend break with our grandson, Chris, and with our youngest son, Andy, and Nikki, his wife. And we'd just gone away for a couple of nights. And on the bank holiday Monday on the way home, we were driving along the dual carriageway, and all of a sudden Chris said, I feel dizzy. And I said, well, you need to pull in. And he said, I can't pull in here. And one of the things I never ever do when Chris is driving is look at road signs, because I know that he knows where he's going. And we were in sort of Somerset, I think. And as he'd said to me, I feel dizzy, we drove up to a roundabout, and I unconsciously looked at the road sign and took note of exactly where we were. I feel at that point God had taken over my mind because I just don't look at road signs. And we went round the roundabout and Chris pulled in quite sharply. And I said to him, are you all right, love? And we wound down both the windows. He said, I just need some air. And with that, I looked at him, and he'd gone really quiet, which is quite unusual for Chris. But I looked at him, and he just suddenly just went drip white. And I said, oh, are you all right, love? And he just sat there, and then he went really floppy. His arm went floppy, his left arm and his leg, and then his face dropped. Well, with that, I knew what was happening because a couple of years ago I'd seen an advert on TV about people having a stroke. Some of you may remember it was the fire in the brain and it showed the face dropping. So I knew straight away. I said to him, oh, you're having a stroke. And Chris tells me now that at that time he thought, don't be silly, I've only gone dizzy. You're being melodramatic, you know. But anyway, I immediately got the mobile phone and tried to dial 999, and I couldn't get the phone to dial. I think I was panicking a bit at that time. I didn't just say, oh, you're having a stroke. Like, oh, you're having a stroke, you know, sort of that like that. But anyway, I rang our Andy, who was further in front of us, further ahead, and Nikki answered the phone, and there was a lot of commotion in the car because Chris decided that he wanted to get out and have a walk in the middle of the dual carriageway. So little Chris was sat in the back of the car, and he was holding Chris because he was struggling and fighting, trying to get out of the car. And Nikki thought we'd had an accident. Andy thought we were having a row because there was so much commotion. Anyway, in the end, I put the phone down, I gave it to little Chris, and I said to him, can you try and dial 999? And he got through to the ambulance, and then they asked me where we were. And because I'd looked at the road sign, I was able to tell them roughly where we were. We were 7 miles from Yeovil Hospital, and it took 3 people to get Chris out of the car. This is a guy who thinks he's just gone dizzy and wants to go for a walk. But anyway, we got to the hospital, and he had a clot on the right hand, a blood clot on the right hand side of his brain, and they said we can give him this clot buster drug, but they had to do it through a drip, and it takes about an hour. And whilst Andy and I were stood at the side of the bed, I said to the nurse, how long does it take for this drug to kick in? And she looked around and she went, well, you can't expect miracles. So my Chris said, yes, we can expect a miracle. And I said, yes, we can expect a miracle. And Andy said the same thing. And with that, Andy put his hand on Chris's head, closed his eyes to say a prayer. And as he did that, I looked down at Chris's leg and it started moving. And I said, oh, his leg's moved. And then his arm moved. And then the whole lot, bang, 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 all came back within about 3 seconds. And that, I believe that God gave us a miracle that day because they hadn't even really given him hardly any of the drug that would have dispersed the clot. And the nurse said, I've never seen it work that quickly before. And I said, well, I think it's, you know, that's God. That's a miracle. And one of the doctors said, praise God, which was, it was an amazing, amazing witness. And I just praise God for it. Thank you.
What's the word, Sue?
Wow.
That'll be imprinted on your mind now for the week. What a fabulous wow factor. Oh, how Jesus loves us. By now you may well be asking yourself, what does wow stand for? Worthy of worship. Jesus Christ, unique, majestic, tender, wise, strong, and lovely, is most certainly worthy of our worship. The Jesus wow factor involves Jesus being radical and relevant. Even a brief look at the Gospels will reveal that about him. Some people back then didn't get Jesus, and people still don't get him 2,000 years later. Whose fault's that? It's not Jesus' fault that people don't get him today. It's partly a result of the church and Christians down through the ages including today, not following Jesus and not being fully committed to him and obeying his commands as closely as they could or they should. That's what my parents thought about churches. They thought, I was told that churches were dangerous places and that Christians were simply brainwashed and deluded people. They didn't hesitate to tell me that about Christianity. But as a teenager, as usual teenagers do, I rebelled against my parents, responded to the call of Jesus Christ, and I became a follower of him about 30 years ago. Some say I'm still rebellious, but I just don't see it. Shush. So what's your response? As Christians, the word Christian means little Jesus. Did you know that? That's what being a Christian is to be, a little Jesus. When young me and I were in London, when we used to go to All Souls Langham Place, after the morning worship, we would go into a group of us, international people, would walk into this one Chinese restaurant called Wong Kee, famous for its rude personnel. And as we filed up the stairs, they, oh, there go the little Jesuses, ha, ha, ha. But we took it as a badge of courage. And as we travel through this life, we are to be little Jesuses to others. The world out there in this community will know you and I are Jesus' followers if we are obedient to him and practically showing love. A love which considers the interests of others before our own self-interest. A love which sees different churches working together and for churches willing to be radical and risk-taking in the Holy Spirit for the sake of the gospel. Surely we can celebrate our differences and yet work together for the sake of the gospel, can't we? That's what the community is looking for. Our ability to love others is born from a loving God of vast imagination. Even a subtle look at creation will reveal his imagination, even if creation's in a fallen state as it is. And what's more, the solution to most of our problems is born from people with imaginations reflecting the imagination of this Jesus. Wow. Imagine whole communities transformed for Jesus Christ, having got this wow factor. Imagine Ringwood, or the place where you normally live, filled with people seeking to know about our Jesus, because we as Christians were sacrificing our time and our possessions, just as the early church did in Acts chapter 2, and wanting in every aspect of life to give Jesus the glory and honour that is worthy of his name alone. Is that your vision for this community? Because it should be. Loving God and loving each other, just as Jesus commanded, would transform Ringwood. Do you believe it? How do you show others that you love this Jesus? You show it by loving and serving others. They are the primary ways of showing that you love God. Oh, it's easiest to love our friends and those that we actually like. But Jesus commanded that his followers also love their enemies. Now, that's a bit radical, isn't it? And of course, it can be difficult. And we see constantly in the media and elsewhere that regards of enemies, we have to be confrontational, or at the very least, ambivalent and just ignore them. They might go away. How is it possible to love our enemies? It's only with the help of God and his abundant grace towards us. We depend on the Holy Spirit who lives inside us to empower, to transform and to guide. To only love those who love you is what's expected by people everywhere. But if you're a Christian, you are to do more. You are to be seen to love more than other people. That would get the wow factor going round Ringwood, wouldn't it? You don't have to like others as friends, but you do have to love them as fellow human beings. And according to the late John Stott, my mate, perhaps the greatest indicator of your love of Jesus Christ is by your giving. Jesus talked about giving quite a lot, not just in financial terms. Jesus gave everything so that you and I may have life and have life in abundance. So by giving generously, you are reflecting that God through Jesus has given abundantly to you. And of course, by loving, serving and giving to others, we may just be the answer to people's prayers. How's your giving, serving and loving going? Giving generously is not just financial. It could be an email, a letter, a smile, a touch, a kind word or a phone call. Those things too are valuable to the recipient, particularly the lonely, the isolated, the sick, the depressed, the recovering and the oppressed. We are to give generously, but not just to those we like. Just as we're not to love only those we like and get on with, we are also commanded to love everybody, including our enemies. Those we are ambivalent towards, and particularly those who are in need. How's your wow factor now? Our giving of words, gestures, touches, possessions, lies, and yes, even money. How does our giving of anything match that of the God we claim to love? Our money, our words, our talents, our gestures, our touches, our possessions and our lives. To be given without expectation of return. That's the essence of grace. Our money, possessions and lives were all given to us by God in the first place anyway. And to not pass them on wisely and freely for the use of others in need is to rob God of the glory due to his name. How's the wow factor now? To not do those things is to engage in a gospel of works and not the gospel of grace. Indeed, the reason most people don't give to those in need is because they're either selfish or they lack the imagination. Or is it only me that's like that? How's the wow factor? I have to ask. I was told by him to ask it. When those outside the church and the world and our community give, they generally give expecting something back, don't they? When we Christians give, we are to give as God gives, freely and without expectation of getting anything in return except the glory to God. Now that's radical giving. I ask again, how's your giving? How's your wow factor of Jesus? And we as the church, being little Jesuses, are not to emulate this world. Rather, we are to emulate the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, who freely gave to all in the name of love. I ask again, you'll get bored of this. I've got a bad memory, so I can repeat things over and over and over again. How's your own wow factor of Jesus now? We should be done by midnight. So whose strength are you using to love, to serve and to give? If we love, serve and give to others in our own strength, then eventually we'll get tired of loving, serving and giving, won't we? Some of us get tired very quickly. But if we maintain our relationship with Jesus and we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us as his believers, then our loving, serving and giving will never tire because we can go back to him to replenish. And we'll keep on loving, serving and giving because the Spirit's power is inexhaustible. Wow. So as we love, serve and give, who are you leaning on for strength and replenishment? Your own reserves or the inexhaustible reserves of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? And when you're tired of loving, serving and giving, ask God to renew your strength. And when you lack the imagination to love, serve and give, then ask God to renew your imagination. He will help you. Trust me. If you don't trust me, ask some other people around here because they'll say the same thing. Most problems can be solved with the use of imagination and putting it into practice. Just because you can't help somebody doesn't mean that somebody else can't. That's why we're a church, a body of imaginative believers to help each other out and together envisage solutions to the problems that are being faced. A people of vision, a people of imagination. How's your own wow factor of Jesus now? And now you might be glad to hear a final wow factor about Jesus. I've used only 6 wow factors so far, and I did say that there was going to be a 7th. So here's the 7th. Jesus is coming back. This Jesus is coming back to gather his followers to himself. I know I've preached on Revelation 22 here before, about 3 years ago. Not because I remember, but because I know it's on my computer. This Jesus is coming back to gather us. There'll be no kitschy kitschy coo factor this time. He's not coming back as a little baby to hold in our arms. No, Jesus is coming back with a big wow factor. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. More about this aspect next week, if you come back. And unless the Lord changes my mind, that's what we're going to do. He already changed part of it 3 hours ago when he told me. And of course, being a good boy, I was obedient. Probably. But for this week, are you ready? What does Jesus look like now? He's described by one of his beloved followers, John, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. I can picture it in my mind. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Can you imagine it? In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Wow! That's the ascended Jesus Christ, as portrayed by his good friend John. Again, I reckon if the word wow was in the Greek, John would have prefaced it with it. Wow. Are you suffering today with some illness? Or are you in the middle of a period of grief? We all suffer in some way, don't we? Back in 2003, I myself had a stroke and recovered. Young me will tell you the story. I was sleeping soundly, and I usually snore, but for some reason I wasn't snoring. I was making a gurgling noise, so young me phoned the ambulance. It's the reason why I'm now allowed to snore, because it means I'm okay. Isn't that right, young me? No, she's not going to answer, because I'll embarrass her. And I still get aches and pains. I fully recovered from the stroke, apart from a dodgy memory, which is why I have to write everything down. There are ways around it, but it's also a good thing. Because when old hairy leg Satan comes, you remember this? I go, no, sorry, mate, go get your legs waxed. But one day, you and I will have perfect bodies. I mean, I know I'm pretty good now. But one day it's going to be perfect. So next time you're looking in the mirror, just remember that. And the big wow factor is that God suffered and died on a cross. And so we have a God who has sympathy with us in our own suffering while we are in this world. Wow. Jesus is coming back, and he will do the most extraordinary thing. Revelation 21, verse 4. He's going to take your face in your hands, and he's going to wipe away your tears. Wow. Wipe every tear from our eyes. Isn't that just the most amazing scene? The most amazing verse of Scripture? An amazing verse with a great big wow factor. Picture it. Jesus Christ taking your face in his hands and wiping away your tears. Tears of suffering and tears of joy. Wow. And you will say to yourself, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. the trials, the temptations, the sufferings, and the experience I've had for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Master. Wow. So you'll be pleased to hear, probably, it's almost time to close up. How are your travels with this Jesus? That's a country road in Australia, by the way. I took it a few years back. I may have doctored the sky, but you wouldn't be able to tell. And so our time is at an end. How can we conclude? We saw together how Paul had a wow factor about Jesus Christ from Acts chapter 9. We saw how, to me, Jesus' wow factor included his uniqueness, his majesty, his tenderness, his wisdom, his strength, and his oozing of loveliness. Then we looked at the wow factor having an impact on our community, that we as Christians are to be little Jesuses by loving, serving and giving, not just to those we like, those we love, but also to those who are enemies, ostensibly. And we saw that by loving, serving and giving, using the strength of the Spirit, means that we will never tire of loving, serving and giving to others. And then lastly, we glimpsed very briefly at that momentous time in history when Jesus comes back to wipe the tears from our eyes from all those who have endured for his sake. Wow. It may well be that you're here tonight feeling desolate, abandoned and lonely. Let the wow factor of Jesus wrap you like a warm embrace, encompassing you with loving compassion. Or you may well be here and you're feeling tired, exhausted, drained and burdened and in need of help. Maybe you're struggling to make some major decision and you don't know what to do. Allow this Jesus to give you the strength to endure. Give that burden to Jesus and let him take the weight for you. Seek the wisdom of Jesus in making that decision. He will help you if you ask. That's all part of the wow factor of Jesus. And you may well be here and you're on fire for God. You're fully committed to him and you're feeling great. Then keep going and keep letting Jesus be your strength, your wisdom and your help. But don't keep it to yourself. That would be just selfishness, wouldn't it? Go to others you know who are in need, regardless of who they are, showing them your wow factor of Jesus Christ. Go to others, loving, serving and giving, just as Jesus loves, serves and gives to you. And finally, you may be not yet a follower of this Jesus. I don't know. If that's you, then I would urge you to accept his call upon you because he is calling you and he's calling you individually. You may not get another chance. You may not get another chance. If that's you, then don't leave here without talking to somebody about this Jesus. Know that Jesus calls you and he calls you individually by name, just as he called me by name 30 years ago, just as he did Saul and innumerable others through history. Jesus invites you to have a wow factor with and about him. Next week we will continue to look at the wow factor of Jesus, unless I get told to do otherwise. But as for those particular aspects, you'll have to come back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, the great, almighty, and awesome God that you are. We thank you, Father, that you looked down upon this world that was alienated from you, and you sent your Son to bring it back into relationship with yourself. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, as the Creator, you stepped into your creation in order to redeem it, to buy it back. And we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to encourage us, to transform us into the image of Jesus. And as we go now from this place, may we be as Jesus, to those who don't know you and to those who are in need, both Christians and non-Christians. And we ask all this through that majestic wow name of Jesus. Amen.